From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
This week on School Talks, we have Macomb County Sheriff Anthony Wickersham, Caddy Chairman from Lockmore Country Club, Blake Johnson, and our supporting sponsor, Sam Clark, from Clark Construction. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Macomb County Sheriff Anthony Wickersham. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
I appreciate you joining us. In our continued discussion about all things related to schools, many of us are aware that the Sheriff's Department serves several school districts in Macomb County. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to share with our School Talks listeners how and in what school districts the Sheriff's Department works and provides support to schools.
Sure. So the Sheriff's Office is a law enforcement entity that also handles corrections in the county jail. We are the contracted law enforcement provider for six communities in Macomb County. So we are their primary police agency. And then there's four additional townships in the northern end of the county that do not contract, but we provide policing service. So within those six communities, we have the Chippewa Valley Schools, Lance Cruz Public Schools, Romeo Public Schools, New Haven, and with Merit Academy, which is located in New Haven. And each one of those schools, we have school resource officers that are assigned there. So we work with the administrative staff to, provide not only law enforcement services, but have that interaction, mostly a positive interaction is what we're looking for, between the police and the students.
Yep. And, for our School Talks listeners and for context, in my time during superintendent at Warren Consolidated Schools, our district was across three different cities, Warren, Sterling Heights, and a part of Troy. And for each of those cities, we had employed school resource officers, at least for Warren and Sterling Heights. And it was a direct connection where the city provides us that resource officer. Is it fair to say that that arrangement is similar for these districts and your deputies that serve as school resource officers?
Yes. There's a partnership, not only with the sheriff's office, the school district, and then the local community in which those schools are located. Most of our law, school resource officers are split 50-50. 50% is being paid for by the school district, sure. And then 50% is being paid by the municipality. So what we're looking for is that we have this partnership with the community, and when school's in session or a school event, whether it's football, the homecoming, prom, those deputies are attending those events, and we're also providing additional deputies for larger events. When school's not in session, whether it's summer vacation or the breaks, those deputies are now put back in cars and policing in those communities. Mm-hmm. So,
and you referenced the shared cost of the SRO, and I remember a time in education where there were no SROs, and I think it was through a federal grant that allowed school districts and municipalities to partner. And I can tell you from my personal experience as superintendent, even after that grant ran out, we figured out a way to fund this, just given how important SROs are to the school. And especially the connection back to the community, the stuff that the police know from what happens on the weekend, that is going to come into schools on Monday is extraordinary. So we found that, and it continues to be an extraordinary resource. So through the traditional lens of SROs, another big thing that has developed in education is obviously schools' readiness for, unfortunately, a school shooter or some type of safety event. Tell us a little bit about the types of training that your deputies provide to schools in terms of that kind of readiness.
So from just a smaller a footprint, those SROs are in the school, and they're making the connections again with the staff and with the students. So on a daily basis, those interactions, we see it as an educational. But from a broader, you know, in today's society with active shooter drills and training, you know, in law enforcement, it's one of those things that we say is, you know, we always, you know, train for the worst, you know, and hope for the best. And we have to be prepared. So we have a multi-jurisdictional SWAT team that has mostly sheriff's deputies, but we have other local agencies that put law enforcement officers into to our team. And, you know, throughout the year, several times a year, members from the SWAT team that have gone to the active shooter training, the ALICE training, you know, run, hide, fight, all of those philosophies, we put programs together. And we go into the school districts in which we would be the primary law enforcement, that first responder. And we educate and teach teachers, administration of what's going to happen. You know, if something bad happens in your school, you have the school has their policies and procedures and locking the doors and doing what you need to do. But we want to educate the school staff on, you know, when law enforcement's coming through the door, what you can expect.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this team you talk about is independent of your deputies who actually serve in the schools.
This correct.
This is a response team that would respond to an event in a school. In that same thinking, several years ago, Macomb County led an initiative, I remember this distinctly, to connect local school district security cameras to a centralized county system. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how the sheriff's department factors into that?
Sure. So our dispatch center, we are what we consider a central dispatch center. We do the dispatching for all of these communities that I spoke about at the beginning, and we also do the dispatching for the city of Sterling Heights and for Clinton Township, two large communities in Macomb County. So if we looked at population, it's just under 500,000 people that would dial 911 comes into our center. Macomb County has about 900,000 people. So our center's huge. We have the technology is first rate. We always stay ahead of the technology. We have a huge video board that connects with the Department of Roads. So we have technology that we can get into the cameras if something's happening, different cameras within different cities if we have the permissions. Over the last 4 years, we've reached out to the school districts, and we've come into partnership with the different school districts that if something was to happen, we would have access to those cameras. Vital information to the first responders. If something was to happen in a school and we could get access to those cameras, we could get good information that we can feed to our people.
From a readiness perspective, I don't think you could get more proactive. Joining us right now is Anthony Wickersham, Macomb County Sheriff, and we're talking about the role of the Sheriff's Department in our local school districts. When a school under your jurisdiction with your SROs receives a school threat, what role does the Sheriff's Department play in conducting an investigation?
So, as you can imagine, over the last few years, we've been inundated with all kinds of threats, and we take each threat serious, and we'll investigate each threat. We owe it to the school. We owe it to the students, we owe it to the parents to aggressively investigate each one of these complaints, because it is our job to determine whether this threat is credible or if it's not. You know, as we all know, you know, back in our day, if we had a disagreement, you know, we would handle it a different way. Mm-hmm. But in today's society, with today's things that are going around the nation, you know, if somebody says they're going to shoot up the school or they're going to blow up the school, we take each one of those serious, and we'll do a full investigation. We'll always present our findings to the prosecutor's office to petition if it's a juvenile, or ask for a warrant if they're an adult.
Mm-hmm. Sheriff Wickersham, how many years have you been the sheriff in Macomb?
I'm on my 14th year.
14th year as sheriff. And I can tell you, in my experience as superintendent, you've done an outstanding job. And I'm glad you started this conversation with some of the other aspects of the sheriff's department as it relates to the jail and other things, because much like a superintendent position, the job is all-encompassing. And I know things like you do speed enforcement and crossing guards, all the good people in the community who help our children get across the street and so on. It really is an all-encompassing position. And I just want to take a minute and thank you for the work that you do, and more importantly, for joining us here on School Talks. Thanks very much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Once again, at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Blake Johnson, caddy chairman for Lockmore Country Club, and also president of and CEO of GTJ Consulting, which on the side here is a family-owned and operated property management company that does all kinds of property preservation and maintenance of all kinds of property types. And welcome to the program, Blake.
Thank you, Doctor. Good morning.
So in your role as caddy chairman, help us understand, where's Lockmore Country Club and how long has it been part of the community?
Yeah, sure. So Lockmore Country Club is located in Grosse Pointe Woods. We're right there at Vernier and Mack. The country club was started in 1917, so we're 107 years old. It kind of started when golf started to take off in the United States around that time. We kind of came in right after Country Club of Detroit. So there was a group of golf enthusiasts that bought some farmland right there off of Lake St. Clair. And really over the last century, Lockmore has been developed into the premier family country club in Grosse Pointe. The club offers championship golf as well as the best indoor golf facility in the state of Michigan. We have premium dining, tennis and pickleball, as well as what I would say is the state's best junior swim program as well. So it's a family atmosphere all around.
So it's a lot more than golf.
That's correct.
You know, part of our mission on School Talks is to learn about programs that support school-age students, including extracurricular activities. And at Lockmore, I understand they're affiliated with the Western Golf Association, which has a mission of supporting young men and women interested in golf. Tell us a little bit about the WGA, as it's called.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a proud WGA director. I'm volunteering in that role for the last 10 years with the organization. The Western Golf Association, or the WGA as we refer to it, is a golf organization that was founded in Chicago in 1899. So this is a seminal anniversary, 125 years for the WGA. It was founded by 11 Chicago area golf clubs that wanted to form an organization to promote the interests of golf at that time. So the organization conducts several golf championships, including four leading amateur championships, two professional events, including the BMW Championship, which is one of the primary PGA Tour FedEx Cup playoff championships. In addition to that, and the reason we're talking today, is the WGA promotes the use of caddies in the game of golf, which has largely been taken over by golf carts, unfortunately, and oversees the Chick Evans Caddy Scholarship Foundation.
And I'm really excited to talk about this scholarship. I grew up on the East Side, and every once in a while, I would have a friend or an acquaintance who caddied there, and it was always, and having never been in there, it was always this, to me, a very mysterious place as to what happens at this country club. But most important, tell us about the Evans Scholars Foundation, which supports caddies, specifically at Lockmore, and what are the origins of this particular scholarship for caddies?
Yeah, so it's a very unique opportunity. You know, the Evans Scholars Foundation is a charitable trust that provides a full four-year, full housing and tuition scholarship to deserving caddies. It's the nation's largest caddy scholarship. It started in 1929 by famed amateur golfer Charles Chick Evans, who asked the WGA to help him administer and start a caddy scholarship. He felt that caddies often came from humble beings and humble means, did not have the opportunity to pursue secondary education, and he wanted to help. So it started very small. In 1930, they awarded two scholarships, sending two caddies to Northwestern University. And then kind of when the funds ran out for that, the WGA established through their directors, started to do more fundraising in order to continue that that scholarship. And so it's been very impressive since then.
Since 1930. So having started in Illinois, how did it make its way to Michigan and specifically Lockmore?
Yeah, so the directors that started the WGA, that were the original directors for the foundation, kind of started with that smaller vision, and it grew as they had more success and more impact. Their vision grew wider, right? And so they wanted to grow outside of the state of Illinois and really the Chicagoland area. Michigan was one of those markets that they went into, and throughout the Midwest. And so it really kind of took on a life of its own, grew exponentially. Today, there are 1,190 Evans Scholars in school across 24 universities throughout the United States. In the state of Michigan specifically, there are two flagship schools, being the University of Michigan, Michigan State. As you can imagine, there's a friendly rivalry amongst the states. And so of the 1,190 Evans Scholars in school, about 120 of those caddies are in Michigan.
Wow, fantastic. With us right now on School Talks is Blake Johnson, the caddy chairman for the Lockmore Country Club, and we're talking about the Evans Scholars Program. Blake, help us understand the kinds of specific support this program provides to students, and more, I'd say, of equal importance is what kind of criteria is necessary for them to be considered for a scholarship.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, it is really a truly unique scholarship. It is a full 4-year full housing and tuition scholarship to some of the leading universities throughout the country. If you think of University of Michigan, Michigan State here in Michigan, but Northwestern, all the way to University of Washington and Oregon, all the way coming east, Maryland and Rutgers, there's some really tremendous universities that support the program and have scholarship houses. So what does it take to become an Evans Scholar? Well, the requirements are pretty stringent. You have to have a strong caddy record. Typically, you have young men and women that have caddied for at least 3 summers, 3 years, and have what 150 what we call loops or caddy rounds at a minimum. They have to have excellent academic record. It's kind of the cream and crop academically. They have to demonstrate financial need, and they have to have outstanding character. So when you look at those numbers, the value of the scholarship at a low level is about $125,000. So that's a pretty significant scholarship. To the WGA, that's about $27 million in annual costs that they have to raise to sustain the program. The students do very, very well academically that are in school. So the average GPA across all of the almost 1,200 students that are in school right now is about 3.3. The graduation rate is 98% for WGA Evans Scholars. And I think it's also important to note, based on the nature of the scholars and how really attracting younger kids that demonstrate financial need, over 40% of Evans Scholars are first-generation college students. So it's a pretty unique program all around.
It certainly is. And at Lockmore right now, approximately how many caddies are in the program?
So we have about 100.
100 caddies in the program right now.
Yes.
And of those 100, some of those will potentially, obviously, be considered for this type of scholarship.
Yeah, so it fluctuates from year to year. Yeah. It depends on what we have. Like last year, Lockmore actually did not have any Evans Scholars last year. This year, we have 11 applicants that are going to be part of the program. Mm-hmm. So we certainly hope to have a number of, we have a really strong group of young caddies this year that we're excited for.
So at Lockmore, with the Evans Scholarship, how, like all scholarships, it takes money. And how does Lockmore specifically support the Evans Scholarship?
So there's at Lockmore, there's the primary fundraising mechanism for the WGA is what they call the Par Club. And so the Par Club is a $250 annual donation. At Lockmore Club, we have almost 100% of our membership that contributes to the program. So I think last year we raised north of $80,000 and contributed to the WGA Evans Scholars Foundation. I also say that there's a number of nationally, so this contributes through clubs throughout the country that participate. I believe there's over 30,000 Par Club members throughout the United States that contribute. Many of those are alumni of the program as well, I should note. But we do, at Lockmore, we also do other fundraising activities, like we've had a very popular Masters fundraiser over the last few years where we've donated anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 on an annual basis. And there's a lot of things that go on. I'll also say that there are other fundraising mechanisms beyond the $250. A lot of people do larger contributions than that. You'll have some family gift giving, estate planning that occurs with that. You have corporate contributions. So there's a lot of dollars that flow in through. Again, we need to, the organization needs $27 million this year to cover the obligations. Those numbers are going to grow as the organization's trying to get to over 1,300 kids in school here in the next, in the very near future.
Absolutely fantastic. And I am aware that Lockmore ranks number one of all the clubs in Michigan with 11 Evans Scholars currently in school.
That's correct.
That's an impressive statistic. Blake Johnson, the chairman of the Caddy program at Lockmore Country Club, I'd like to thank you for joining us on the program and sharing with us what is, without a doubt, a really neat opportunity for children to extend their education. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Sam Clark from Clark Construction, one of School Talk's supporting sponsors, which we appreciate very much. Welcome to the program, Sam.
Thank you, Dr. Livernoy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So one of the most important and sometimes overlooked areas of education is the quality of the learning environment, whether it's the physical safety of the building or the heating and cooling that keeps the school comfortable. And in the work that Clark Construction does, I know that these kinds of issues are at the forefront of at least some of the work they do. So, Sam, tell us a little bit about Clark Construction and the kind of work you do and things like how long have you been in business and maybe how many employees you employ, just to give a sense.
We've been in business for 78 years. We have roughly 300 employees. We're a union firm, so we have that number varies depending on our workload. But typically, on average, it's about 300. We're in Lansing, Auburn Hills, Grand Rapids, and Alpena, so we can cover the entire state very well. And we're in about 28 different school districts.
So with regard to school districts, what has your relationship been with K-12 schools? Tell us a little bit about the kinds of projects that you've done, whether renovations or new construction. Anything come to mind that sort of details that kind of work?
Well, like I said, we cover the entire state, and we have been doing K-12 work from our inception, so it's an important part of our business. We have work in northern Michigan. We have work, a tremendous amount of work in southeast Michigan. Anything from renovations to additions to brand new school buildings, we do it all.
Yeah, so in my personal experience with Clark, I've known for a long time one of the strongest parts of your company is your leadership team and the service they provide to schools. Tell us a little bit about the philosophy at Clark and how you maintain that level of excellence.
Well, we have very strong training programs to include leadership, and we believe that strong leadership is the key to setting the table for a successful project. In addition to that, our leaders pay attention. It's our philosophy that if we take care of our employees, we give them the resources they need, we show them that we care, that they're going to take care of our customers likewise. And that formula has worked very well for us.
With regard to your leadership team, I recently had the opportunity to attend a fall conference for superintendents, and here's what Dr. Andrea Tuttle from Grosse Pointe Schools had to say about your leadership team.
Clark Construction, the company itself, but the people who work from the company, from Paul to Gary to Becky, are just simply outstanding human beings who want the best for their clients, who give and give and give. And I have the utmost respect for them, and I would use them and I would recommend them to anyone who's looking to do a bond construction project.
I also had the opportunity to speak to Steve Lotch, superintendent of Saline Schools, who said this about your ability to personalize your service to the district's needs.
And they are at a cutting edge of service, too, providing personalized service. When we feel that we need to make adjustments, they're right there helping us do that. And so we would highly recommend Clark. They do an outstanding job.
So with a high caliber leadership team like yours in place, help our School Talks listeners understand, when you're contracted to renovate a school district or a school building, walk us through a few of the big steps in that process in terms of how things are designed or bid out, the kind of factors that go into a renovation like that.
Well, I think the most important thing on day one is listening to the client's needs. So we take that and we look at what their budget is and what we think that they can pass in a bond issue. And then we try to align that with what the community needs and make ensure that when they take that to a bond vote, that they can afford what they've promised the citizens of that's the most important thing on day one.
With regard to your point about what you do on day one in response to the client's needs, here's what Kevlin Jones, superintendent of Flint Community Schools, had to say about the impact that Clark Construction had on their community and the children they serve.
Flint Community Schools in Flint has not had renovated buildings in over 30 years or so. And Clark Construction came in as a partner and made a huge difference and an impact in managing the construction of those four buildings. In those projects, we've been able to renovate the entire inside of buildings, some of the outside of the buildings, new parking lots, new gymnasiums. We've also done new roofing. Never been done in Flint. Our kids deserve better. And with the work and support of Clark Construction, we have been able to put some smiles on faces in our community and bringing kids back to Flint Community Schools.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Point Moran Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
We're joined by Sam Clark from Clark Construction, a supporting sponsor of School Talks. In addition to Mr. Jones' comments, I've known for many years in my work with Clark Construction how important it is that you as a company consider the end user of the work that you're doing, whether it's classrooms, gymnasia, etc. And your focus on serving the client is really what I would consider one of the hallmarks of your company. Because as you know, in so many industries, the end user quite often doesn't have a hand in the design, engineering, or construction of things. And therein lies a pretty, what I would consider, substantial disconnect between the people and who end up using it versus those who design and do the work. So on that note, I wanted to ask you, what makes Clark Construction different from other contract management, construction management firms?
Well, along those lines that you talked about how we engage, you know, the people, the earlier you can talk with those folks and develop relationships and trust, the earlier you can get those things into the design and into the budget so that everybody's expectations are met. But I believe that a key for us is our culture. Our mission statement is we build on a foundation of trust, And our values are competency, reliability, sincerity, and care. And everybody in our company adheres to that and believes in it. And it drives success. We recently took a Crane's Cool Places to Work survey. I think it's Best Places now. Or actually, we've been doing it for 4 years. And the first year we did it, our engagement score was 99%. Everybody in our company said they were proud to work for our company. Everybody said they would recommend our product or services to a friend. And everybody said that they would recommend that a friend come to work at our company. To me, that's extraordinary, and that is what's driven our client satisfaction.
And, you know, to that end, when you think about the people doing the work on your behalf, representing you that well, it just speaks volumes to the reputation that you have as a quality firm. As I said, having worked with you for many years, I can tell you this. One thing that through working with you and the bond process, this is a really important thing when it comes down to when a community wants to pass a bond and you put a bond out for $100 million. But in the middle of the process, from the point at which you award bids to before you start doing work, the inflation rate goes up. Well, all of a sudden, your $100 million might only be worth maybe $80 or $90 million, and you're in that, I wouldn't call it a trap, but you're in that reality of, well, you don't have as much money as you thought, so now you have to begin making adjustments to the kind of work you do. And I can tell you, your company is outstanding at helping make the right kinds of decisions so that the end product is still, in this example, what was promised to the taxpayers. And echoing my sentiments about the value that your company brings to a school district, here is Dr. John Bernia, superintendent of Warren Consolidated Schools, giving a perspective on what many schools face, and that is, how do you navigate the renovation of older facilities so that it lives up to the expectations of the community?
When you look at our buildings in Warren Consolidated Schools, a lot of our buildings were built in the 60s and the 70s. And as you can appreciate, the maintenance of anything, just like your home that was built in the 60s and 70s, it requires people that are at the front end and the top of the line to really make sure that they're maintaining it and making it look top tier, which is what Clark Construction's done for us for many, many years now.
So although schools are a really important part of your business, if you drive around Southeast Michigan, you'll see a lot of Clark Construction banners in other places. And in what other kinds of markets have Clark done business as it relates to construction?
Well, K-12 is a foundational, you know, market for us. We do about 35% of our work in that market, but we have about $400 million worth of work in other markets. And the Daxton Hotel is one of them, recently finished. Oakland Hills Country Club is under construction and going very well. We do a lot of work at Great Lakes Water Authority. We do boutique hotels. We do healthcare. We do courthouses. We have a wide array of markets that we serve.
I think about going from a water authority to an elementary classroom to an upscale hotel in Birmingham. That's quite a cross-section of kinds of work that you do. On that note, any other thoughts about, well, let me ask you this. The leadership team, one of the driving, you mentioned relationships, and are there specific trainings that you provide your team to achieve that level of expertise as a leader? Are there specific, do you have specific trainings for leadership?
Well, we do. Our current leadership, and Gary Steller, who's been amazing for us over the years, and he's going to be retiring soon. And we have a number of successions that are happening in our company. And as we looked at that, we said, we really need to get the next layer of leadership on board and help them understand what it is that makes us successful and train on it. So we spent quite a bit of time developing our own leadership program, taking things from other programs we've experienced that we feel meet our culture. And so, yes, we are training on leadership, and we do all of our reviews of our senior leadership based on our leadership training. And we have a booklet that ties in with the training, and it's been very successful for us.
And it definitely shows in the consistency of the leadership team who serve schools and places. A lot of businesses talk about mission, vision, and values. You at Clark are really living it, and you can see it every day. So on that note, Sam Clark from Clark Construction, a supporting sponsor of School Talks, I want to thank you for your time today. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Dr. Littlenor.
As we look ahead to future broadcasts, I'd like our School Talks listeners to know that I will continue to feature our supporting sponsors on this program. Clark Construction was our first one, and in the coming weeks, I am delighted to report that I will have on all of our sponsors: O'Reilly Rancilio, Attorneys at Law, Wakely Associate Architects, Collins and Blaha, and Plant Moran Real Point. All of them will be featured on future broadcasts of School Talks. And I'd like our School Talks listeners to know that our sponsors are the absolute best, and having well-known, high-quality sponsors attached to School Talks really enhances our credibility because of the work that they do out in our schools and other projects in the area. And I know our School Talks listeners often associate those sponsors with the quality content that we're working really hard to bring you, which I hope builds trust and eventually helps people understand what's really going on in schools away from what you may hear elsewhere. Another point about sponsors is through their own channels, they often help promote our radio show because they are such an important piece to it. And this sort of cross promotion can really help the show gain new listeners and expand our audience base. So I couldn't say it enough. Our sponsors, not only are they the very best, but they do absolutely incredible quality work out in our schools, which for any of you who work and participate in school districts where our sponsors do the work, you know firsthand that the work they do helps deliver the education that our children need and the staff who serve them deserve as they attempt to reach children. Also, my conversation today with Sheriff Wickersham really calls attention to school safety. They do a great job in the sheriff's office supporting several municipalities and school districts. And like several other guests we've had on the show, schools are doing an excellent job of embracing the training and the necessary strategies to help keep schools safe, whether it's locked entrances, school resource officers, training for staff. I can tell you firsthand, the top priority for every school in the state of Michigan, if not the country, is to keep the children safe. And it was really reassuring to hear Sheriff Wickersham talk about the strategies they use, much like the other school resource officers do, in keeping schools safe. Just food for thought. I'd like to thank our guests this week on the program: Macomb County Sheriff Anthony Wickersham, from Lockmore Country Club Blake Johnson, and one of our supporting sponsors, Sam Clark from Clark Construction. We'll leave it there till next week, but remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.